Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the victory of Hezekiah as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 2. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And when Hezekiah saw Sennacherib was come, and he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. Now, basically what this is referring to is the conduit that Hezekiah built from the spring of Gihon on into the pool of Siloam. So the stopping up is actually the covering of the spring from the outside, and the water then flowed on through this conduit that they made, this tunnel through the rock, and emptied out into the pool of Siloam, so that during the siege, not only would the Assyrians be kept from the water, but they would have a sufficient supply of fresh water to maintain themselves during the period of the siege. Part of the preparation that he made for the siege of Jerusalem under the Assyrian army. So they gathered a lot of people together, and they stopped up all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land. And so Hezekiah is doing a wise thing. He's going to make it tough on these guys. You're going to conquer us, man. You're not going to do it easily. So he also strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken. During the reign of his father, there was an area of wall that was broken down. And so he rebuilt the wall that was broken. He raised it up to the towers. And another wall he built without. And he repaired Millo in the city of David. And that... again, is something that you can reference with Samuel, 2 Samuel 5:9. And he made darts, arrows, spears, shields in abundance. All of this was preparation against the invasion of the Assyrians. He then set the captains of war over the people, gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city. And he spoke comfortable words to them, or encouraging words to them. He did more than pray. He was making active preparations from a physical standpoint to withstand the Assyrians. Always, God expects us to do certain things. There is God's work always, but there is always also the human responsibility that God requires. I think that we make a mistake when we think that God's just going to drop stuff into our lap apart from an effort on our part. God gives us the wisdom. God gives us the guidance. God gives us the abilities. He gives us the strength. And then that's the way he provides. He provides so often. You know, I think that where we make a mistake is we are often expecting God to work in such supernatural ways that we don't recognize the work of God in very natural ways. And we need to learn to look for the supernatural in the natural. You know, well, God is leading me. Well, you know, is there some beep, 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 you think of, you know, sort of electronic types of sounds and vibrations and all. No, it doesn't work that way. It works in a very natural way. I was heading up to Ventura to hold a meeting up there on Sunday evening. And I was heading up the Ventura Freeway, which wasn't a freeway at that time. And as I got to Sunset Boulevard, I got this, it was a beautiful day. And I had a convertible. And I thought, what a beautiful day. I don't have any real deadlines. I was going up on a Saturday. And so I thought, I'll just drive up by Malibu. That's one of my favorite routes anyhow, is going up Malibu on a sunny day in a convertible. I mean, that's living. And so I wound all the way down Sunset Boulevard to Pacific Coast Highway to go up through Malibu. And just as I pulled onto Pacific Coast Highway, there was a couple there hitchhiking. So I thought, well, I'm all by myself, beautiful day, might as well give them a ride. And so I invited them into the car. They were from Montana. The kid was a farmer, came out to Hollywood to look for a job. I said, you'll never find any farm jobs in Hollywood, you know. So they decided they'd head for San Francisco. I said, they don't have any farms in San Francisco, man. You need to stop along the way, Ventura, Salinas, or somewhere, you know, to get a job. And so as we were riding along, we had the opportunity of sharing the Lord with them. They both accepted Christ. We pulled over the side, and they prayed, accepted the Lord. And I let them off in Ventura, and the poor kids were down on their luck. And so I gave them money for a motel that night. And I took them by the church where I would be speaking the next evening. I said, hey, I'm going to be speaking here tomorrow night. Come on out to church, and we'll see what the Lord will do. Well, it so happened that the foreman of the Del Mar Lyman Air Ranch was in church that night, sat next to these kids, started talking to them, and they did come to church. I thought, oh, I'll probably never see them again. You know, they got my bucks, and they'll move on. But they were in church the following night, and they happened to sit right next to Mr. Jenkins, who was the foreman at the Del Mar Lyman Air Ranch. He got to talk to him, and he said, well, I can use some hands out on the ranch, you know. And so they had housing, and the guy hired him right there from church. But they came forward that night to make a public profession of their faith in Christ. But I got to thinking, you know, impulse, why don't you go Coast Highway? I was already committed to the interior route. And just that crazy impulse, you think, oh, it's just my love for the beach and my love for the ocean, my love for, you know, the ride up. No, it was God directing. And so God just made me wind down. And while I was going down Sunset Boulevard, I began to think, oh, what am I doing? You know, these crazy signals and this long, windy drive, you know. And I beginning to grumble until I came out to Pacific Coast. And then you see God's hand in the whole thing. All right, you know, God is, it's so good. But you don't think, God's leading me, you know, Pacific Coast Highway. You know. It doesn't work that way. And it's always a very natural way in which God works in our lives and leads us and guides us. And quite often, we're not even aware that it was God that was speaking to us until the whole thing was over. And then we look back and we say, wow, did you see that? Do you realize what just happened? You know, and then the realization, God was directing me. God was leading. And you get then the excitement of all of realizing that God's hand was upon you after the fact so often, not during the experience. So the part that we have to play, God's part, our part. Hezekiah did his part. Now he's gathered the people together to encourage them. And so as he is encouraging them, he says, now be strong and be courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed. Interesting encouragement, but wait a minute, Hezekiah. These guys are tough. These guys have bludgeoned the world into submission. They have a vast army. Hundreds of thousands have marched against us. you're telling us don't be afraid or dismayed? But he gives them the reason. Don't be afraid for the king of Assyria, nor for all of the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Not numerically, because all he has is the arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Now, God is with us to fight our battles. We've made the preparation. We've built up the walls. We've stopped up the fountains. We've appointed the captains. We have the spears and the shields and all. But our God is with us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. They just were comforted by his words. And after this, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem while he was laying siege to Lachish, which is down in the Philistine country towards Gath. And he sent this message to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and to all of Judah that were in Jerusalem, saying, "Thus saith Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem?" How come you haven't fled from Jerusalem? Where is it you're just trusting? What are you trusting that you would stay there in Jerusalem, which is about ready to be besieged? "Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst?" This Hezekiah, king of yours, you know, He's encouraging a man to die. He's encouraging you to die by famine and by thirst. Of course, he doesn't know that Hezekiah has diverted the spring into the city. They may get hungry, but they're not going to get thirsty. They got plenty of water. "Saying that Yahweh our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria." You know, don't kid yourself. Who do you think Hezekiah is? "Hath not this same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah, saying, 'Ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it'?" That shows how little he knew about the God of Hezekiah. For Hezekiah was only fulfilling the commands of God to destroy the high places and the other places of worship and bring the central worship right into Jerusalem. It's interesting how that people talk about our faith who know nothing about our faith. I'm amazed at what some supposedly knowledgeable people say about the Bible, how totally ignorant they are of the Bible, and yet they talk like they're authorities. We had a debate here one night, and we had some professors from Cal State Fullerton who were debating against Dr. Morris and Dr. Gish. And this one professor of Cal State was talking about Eve in the garden, and he said, and the people said she ate an apple. He said, "That's so funny, because in the Hebrew it's pomegranate." Well, in the Hebrew it's nothing. It's just fruit, and it doesn't say what kind it is, and he turned out to be the fruit, you know. But I mean, that's the way people are. They talk so knowledgeably, like, you know, and pompously about the Bible, and they really know nothing about the Bible. Sennacherib says, you know, he had you break down the high places and all, and to worship, you know, this Yahweh, and just said, offer the incense. Well, that was God's command. He didn't know it. "Don't you know what I and my fathers have done to all of the people in the other lands? Don't you know what Assyria is doing? Were the gods of those nations and those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand?" Notice the I, the my's, and so forth. "Who was there among all of the gods of the nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand?" The whole idea was to destroy faith, to inspire fear. And Satan so often uses the same guise today against us. He tries to plant fear in your heart and destroy your confidence and faith in God by getting you to look at the circumstances, getting you to look at the problem, the power of the enemy. And if you get your eyes on the enemy, now what Hezekiah was doing was focusing the people's eyes upon the Lord. All they've got is the arm of flesh. With us is Yahweh our God. You know, get your eyes on the Lord. He will fight this battle for us. Now, Sennacherib's trying to get their eyes on him, the power of his army. Now, therefore, don't let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you on this manner. Neither yet believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers, and how much less, he is deprecating now, the God of Israel, how much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servants spoke yet more against Yahweh, the God, and against his servant Hezekiah. In 1 Kings, it gives quite a bit of the blasphemous speech of the Rabbeksha against the Lord. He also wrote letters in which he threatened Hezekiah and threatened the people and spoke against Jehovah God. So he wrote letters to rail on Yahweh, the God of Israel, and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations and the other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. And the guys outside cried to the people on the walls in loud voices in the Hebrew language, and that seeking to frighten them and to trouble them in order that they might take the city. So it was a whole psychological warfare going on here as these guys were calling up the threats, telling the people on the walls of what they were going to do to them, how they were going to mutilate them, and all if they dared to resist, and seeking actually to get them to capitulate. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. They talked about God as though he were like the other gods, gods that were created by men's hands, little idols and so forth. They didn't know who they were contending with. Hezekiah took the letter in before the Lord, and he stretched the letter out before the Lord, and he said, Lord, look how they're blaspheming you. Look what they're saying. And Lord, it is true, we don't have the strength to go against this army. They're stronger than we are, but Lord, they're not stronger than you. So we're going to trust in you. We're going to rely on you. Take care of them, Lord, because look what they said. So for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, this, of course, is the prophet Isaiah who has written the book of Isaiah, and he gives us extra details on Hezekiah and upon this period of time. In fact, Isaiah tells us at this period that when God wiped out the Assyrian army, that a great fear gripped the hearts of the sinners in Jerusalem. When they saw the power of God against the Assyrians, they said, wait a minute, this is a pretty powerful God. Who are we to stand before him, you know, without getting wiped out? Who of us can approach this fire without being destroyed? So Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed and they cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor with the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. In one night, 185,000 were slain by the angel of the Lord, died mysteriously in the night, so that when the rest of the troops awoke and looked around, they were surrounded by these dead corpses of their brethren. So the king returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, he had been, you know, boasting about, they that came forth out of his own bowels slew him there. His two sons actually assassinated their dad with a sword. And then they fled themselves to Armenia, according to history. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. God delivered them out of the hands of the Assyrians. The Assyrians, because of the weakened position, soon fell to the Babylonians. This broke the back of the Assyrian power. There had been this constant fighting between the Babylonians and the Assyrians for strength and power, and the Assyrians had the upper hand until God destroyed these forces, and then Babylon immediately took the upper hand, and Assyria no longer was a world-dominating power, but Babylon rose to this. And of course, Assyria was just north of Babylon, and thus they had greater conflicts with each other than with other nations. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah, guided him on every side, and many brought gifts unto Yahweh to Jerusalem, and they brought presents to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all of the nations from then on. All of the nations say, wow, Hezekiah wiped out the Assyrians.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the long reign of Manasseh. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May this be a week of our seeking God. May the Holy Spirit focus our attention upon the power of the Lord, His ability to take care of whatever problem you are facing. So with your eyes focused upon Him, we will go forth and see God do battle for His people. We'll see the Lord close the mouth of the enemies. We will see God triumph as we place our trust and confidence in Him. God bless you. Give you a beautiful week as you serve our Lord.
There is always an ever-present danger for Christians of being beguiled. That word reminds me of Eve. She had everything in the garden. She had fellowship with God. She had her husband all to herself, no competition whatsoever. And yet the serpent came to her.
The Word for Today is pleased to present Kay Smith's newest edition in her Bible study series for women, the Book of Colossians. Come alongside Kay as she exhorts women and teaches what the Bible says about these last days. Women will discover how to discern spiritual deception and comprehend correct biblical doctrine that leads to a renewed eternal perspective.
How grateful we are to you, Father. for how you teach us in your word to beware of the beguilers, how you warn us, how you help us, how you encourage us.
To order a copy for yourself or a friend, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673, or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.